Holy Gospel for this morning is from Matthew, the fourth chapter. We begin with verse 12.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what might have been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Saying goodbye, saying hello. Have you ever said goodbye? Right? I mean, we've all said goodbye. Have you ever said hello? Hopefully so. Hopefully maybe as many times. Sometimes saying a goodbye comes easy. I think of a car that was just a lemon, and finally I got rid of it, and I said, "Goodbye, car." Or I was talking to Tracy yesterday. I remember a class I took in college, biochemistry. It was way over my head. I squeaked by and worked hard and got a passing grade. But at the end of that class, when it was over, I said, "Goodbye, biochemistry." Is that the class you're taking like right now too? Biophysical chemistry, ooh. Oofta. There have also been some tough goodbyes for me. I remember telling my father I was not going to go to school to become a pastor. 2 years later, I remember telling my brother I was not going to finish up in the College of Pharmacy that he was a part of so that I would become a pastor. Both of those involved some tears. Saying goodbye to my parents when they died. Tears saying goodbye. And a year ago, saying goodbye to my sister Dorothy when she died. Now, I think my toughest goodbye, not related to anyone's death, but my toughest goodbye was when I left Ohio. I had been at Ohio State University for a couple of years, and I left there to attend a college in this weird state called Minnesota to prepare for a career in the ministry of the Lutheran Church. I remember loading up my car. Standing near my car, my parents were watching and helping, and finally it was time for me to leave. The words were not there. I could not say goodbye to my parents because I knew I would just lose it. So I got what we hugged, and my mom said, "Drive safe and call when you get there." Those were her favorite goodbye words to me whenever I was leaving. But I crawled behind the wheel, and within a quarter mile down State Route 795, tears were just streaming down my face. Goodbye. But with that goodbye, there would come new hellos. I may not have known it at that point, and I probably, to be honest, did not want to know any new hellos at that point. But I was starting a new chapter in my life to make new friends, new family in this place called Minnesota, to prepare for ministry. And along the way, there have been more tears, more learning, more growing up. But the goodbye in Ohio meant a hello in Minnesota. Now, I kind of like Ohio and Minnesota, so I still say hello to Ohio all the time. Now, in our gospel lesson, Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John, two brothers, to follow him. And what's fascinating with Matthew's account is Matthew simply writes, immediately they left everything and they followed Jesus. There's no other detail given other than immediately. I'm thinking that there has to be something more than just immediately they followed Jesus. The story does not share any of the pain involved of saying their goodbyes, nor does it express the joy that was involved following Jesus. They were two sets of brothers. They had lived their whole lives in their village. They learned how to be fishermen because their fathers were fishermen. They knew everybody in this village. It would be their home, meant to be their home forever. They would make a living. They would take care of their aging parents. They would teach their children how to fish. And that was the way it was to be until Jesus came by. We don't read it in the story, but there must have been some goodbyes said, tears that were shared. They said, "We're going with this man Jesus," which meant their goodbyes to their family, to their village, also meant a hello that Peter, Andrew, James, and John would say to a new life following Jesus. They were excited about following Jesus. Sometimes you have to say goodbye to be able to say hello. Sometimes you must let go of the past to look at the future and to embrace what the future might hold. These four fishermen were willing to say goodbye to their past so that they could say hello to a new future. It wasn't easy to leave everything behind. They went because Jesus was calling them into a new life, a new hello. Jesus calls us also to a new life, to a new hello. It does not always have to mean leaving family and friends behind, but sometimes it does. Recovering alcoholics know about leaving their friends behind. As a recovering alcoholic begins to work their program, they learn, they know that their former friends will be a temptation for them to have another drink, to remind them of days gone by. It can be difficult to remain sober in the company of people who drink. When Christ calls us to follow him, he calls us to become a new person. St. Paul talked about it, and I was talking about it a little bit with the baptismal. Remember, St. Paul talked about us killing the old Adam through baptism so that the new Christ, the new Adam, might come up in each and every one of us. That's why we talk about daily dying in our baptism. Daily we die, and daily we rise to new life in Christ. Anybody heard of the person Tertullian? Tertullian? Any church history people? Lee's going, maybe. He was an early, by early I'm talking 3rd, 4th century Christian. I think he was a bishop, but he was a teacher, a leader. One day, Tertullian had a man come to him with a life dilemma. This man, a Christian, had to make a living, but he was living in a heathen or a non-Christian world. What if a mason were asked to build a heathen temple? There we go. Nope, that's not it. Hang on. What if a mason were to build a heathen temple? Could a Christian do that? What if a soldier had to say, Caesar is God, a Christian soldier? And the man told Tertullian that he must have a living, that he must live. And Tertullian responded, must you? Wow. Wow. Dr. Martin Luther King had it right. In one of his last speeches, he said, longevity, long life, has its place. But longevity was not Dr. Martin Luther King's goal. God had given him a dream, and Dr. King had to pursue that dream. And if that resulted in his early death, so be it, he said. God does not call most of us to change professions. God does not call most of us to die for our faith. But God does call us to become new people in God, in Christ. And as a result of our following Jesus, we live in a new life, in a new way. And so just as Jesus called Peter and Andrew, Jesus calls us. And just as Jesus called John and James, Jesus calls us. Jesus has a special job for each of us. Come after me, Jesus calls. A true story from a writer, her name Carolyn Yergain. She was flying on a small airline in the Pacific Northwest. A flight attendant asked the man in front of her if he would like dinner. He asked, what are my choices? The attendant's response was yes or no. Christ calls us all to be his disciples. He calls us to follow him faithfully each day. Answer yes, and Jesus will give you a renewed sense of purpose. Answer yes, and he will make your life count. The same is true for this congregation. Jesus calls the people of Salem to be Jesus' disciples, to discover our purpose, to make a difference in the lives of people, to make something new and something wonderful out of our past. Say goodbye, say hello, amen. Thanks to you, I think I've got this one, right? I've got this one. Thanks to you, the members and friends of Salem Lutheran Church, we are able to have a church council. Our church council meets monthly, second Tuesday of every month. They receive reports. They're kind of a network between the different committees within this congregation. They also look at the financial situation of our church. Diana Larson, I think I saw Diana, has a treasurer's report every month that we look, are we going backwards? Are we going forwards? How are things looking? But thanks to you, these leaders are elected and they lead this congregation through different areas this past year. The council has dealt with transition of tenants. This past year, we've looked at where do we go as a congregation. Later this morning, the council will lead us through the annual meeting, through elections, through a budget, through constitution changes, which are not all that exciting, but they're necessary. The council is necessary, and it is there because of you, because of your gifts, your time, your energy. allows these leaders to leave, thanks to you. I invite us all to confess.